Welcome to the WLS Gut Health Podcast, your solution to restoring stomach and intestinal health after weight loss surgery. Welcome to the WLS Gut Health Podcast. I am your host, Dawn Boxall, and I am thrilled that you have joined us today and excited about sharing our next topic of could low stomach acid be at the heart of your gut problems? Now, many of you may be thinking, now, wait a minute, why would I have low stomach acid? My doctor has put me on Nexium or has put me on omeprazole for excess stomach acid because I have heartburn or reflux. So this just doesn't make sense. So how would one know if they have high or low stomach acid? So technically there is a test that you can do. It's called the Heidelberg capsule test. And it is the gold standard to measuring stomach acid. And it can be done in an office setting, but it is pretty expensive and not many doctors do it. So it's really not utilized as a tool or resource to, you know, identify what the stomach acid is in someone's stomach. Now, there is a researcher, Jonathan Wright. He's out of Washington, and he has studied thousands of patients suffering from heartburn. And he states in his book, Why Stomach Acid is Good for You, he explains how 90% of the time they found that in people over age 40 who were having heartburn and indigestion and gas, that they had inadequate acid production in the stomach. So kind of interesting. And then if you pull up a study that was done on weight loss surgery patients, it's the same thing. Roux-en-Y gastric bypass is the main one that they evaluated, but a study has shown that in the gastric pouch, the hydrochloric acid or the stomach acid is negligible after weight loss surgery. So, and many of you know from, you know, surgeons, because they've learned this really the hard way, that doing the sleeve gastrectomy surgery wasn't any benefit to GERD or reflux because it only made the symptoms worse. So, you know, most surgeons won't do a sleeve on somebody that has a history of GERD. So it's not even an option. So the tricky part is understanding the differences between high stomach acid and low stomach acid, and that's where some of the problem lies. They cross paths and they look very similar. So low stomach acid symptoms can be heartburn, bloating, burping, indigestion, a heavy feeling in the stomach, gas, undigested food in the stool, constipation, diarrhea, frequent nausea, getting tired after meals, dry fingernails, meat intolerance, an aversion to eating meat, bad breath, and body odor. Those are all signs of low stomach acid. And unfortunately, as we age, our stomach acid just naturally declines anyway. Then you throw in weight loss surgery, and you're really creating an environment of very little to no stomach acid. And another indicator is our stomach has a lining of periodontal cells, and those periodontal cells is what makes hydrochloric acid or the stomach acid. And when you staple off the stomach from a football-sized belly down to a golf ball-sized belly, there's not many periodontal cells left to even produce hydrochloric acid. I think the big picture you need to understand is it's not, you know, after weight loss surgery, the ability to produce enough stomach acid to be the problem is really not likely. It's more that you have the signs of low stomach acid, and making sure that you're treating that differently is the important piece. Because if you go taking the PPIs, then you are just creating a prime environment for bacteria to flourish, the wrong bacteria to flourish and proliferate very quickly with what happens in the intestines, in your small intestines, when you take these PPIs for heartburn. So some of you might be thinking, okay, so why do I feel better when I'm on a PPI? And that kind of goes back to if you have, you know, any type of acid that can splash back, even a negligible amount, you know, that can cause pain. But really, it's all about the pressure. And it's pretty well accepted in literature that GERD is caused by an increase in intra-abdominal pressure, IAP, intra-abdominal pressure. And it occurs, reflux occurs when the pressure causes the stomach to blow, and then it pushes that stomach contents, including the acid, through that up into that lower esophageal sphincter, into the esophagus. So, you know, it allows that sphincter to be opened and push things back up. All that pressure gets built up, and that causes that pressure to open it up and allow acid to splash back up, or the contents of your stomach to splash back into your esophagus.
So, what causes this intra-abdominal pressure? And in a quick answer, it is carbohydrates that are undigested. So how does that even occur? So when you don't have the stomach acid and you don't have all the, what I call raw material to break down food appropriately, and then you have a pouch that doesn't break down the food quickly enough before it dumps into the intestines, then you're creating this environment in your intestines that's just, you know, a perfect place for the microbes to start feeding off of the those food products and grow very quickly and create side effects. And what the most, you know, horrible side effect that you get is lots of gas with excess carbohydrates. And I see this all the time with our patients, that they do have a lot of carb intolerance, or they notice that they get weight gain really quickly with the carbohydrates. And it goes back to those foods not being digested with adequate amount of stomach acid. And then that dumps those food sources into the intestines, and, you know, the microbes that are in there can digest proteins and fats, but they, guess what? They really love the carbohydrates. And when you start eating the carbs, especially processed carbs, so those are things like crackers and grains in bread and rice, pasta, chips, all those will just add fuel to the fire very quickly. And those carbohydrates just ferment. They start fermenting and produce tons of gas. And then that pressure builds up and creates the pressure in the stomach that forces that acid, that negligible amount of acid, or just the pressure opens that lower esophageal sphincter, it opens that up and allows food and any acid, if you do have any, back into the esophagus, causing problems, irritation and inflammation, and sometimes leading to ulcers. So the key thing is, you know, we've got to fix both of those areas. And it's not just the stomach acid, it's now we have the intestines, the small intestines, that has all these microbes that have, you know, grown and proliferated really quickly in the wrong guys. It's not the right bacteria and the ones that are producing the healthy things that make us feel fabulous and that you know keep our gut lining healthy and capable of absorbing nutrition and doing its job, just basically doing its job. It's preventing all that. So when you have those carbohydrates that are just fermenting and then it just goes day after day after day, meal after meal, you're just going to have the symptoms that you don't want. And then over time, in a very short time, you develop small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. And that's where you've got some work to do. And that is what I kind of really focus on, is making that small intestinal bacterial overgrowth a thing of the past and making all that gas and heartburn and all the constipation, diarrhea, all those things that come with SIBO, which is the small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, that's what we work on to get rid of, which sometimes doesn't like to leave quickly and sometimes doesn't leave nicely, but it is a very common problem in weight loss surgery patients because of, you know, the anatomy changes that we're making and, you know, altering the digestion of food. That is a very prevalent problem. Even in research, I've found several studies reporting as much as 40% of weight loss surgery patients mostly Roux-en-Y gastric bypass because of having that Roux limb and you losing the pyloric sphincter. Those two things alone is the main cause of SIBO. But then the sleeve gastrectomy, you can see it in those because if they get put on PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, that just sets you up for SIBO as well. So it's a kind of a double-edged sword. You know, we take away that stomach acid and now we've got two areas that are the driver in problems. So that's what we have to focus on. We got to fix the small intestines. We got to fix the stomach acid, and then we can resolve your problems of, having the symptoms that kind of make your days miserable and make things in life complicated because you got to think about bathrooms and you got to think about, all the side effects that you're struggling with on a daily basis. So how do you fix your gut function after weight loss surgery? So when we do it, we do it in five steps. We remove all the foods that are going to feed the bacteria and yeast and anything that kind of aggravates all the symptoms. So we do kind of limit certain food groups for a period of time because we've got to give your gut some time to heal. Then we replace the things you're lacking. We add in digestive enzymes that has some stomach acid so that you can start digesting the foods and start, you know, tolerating everything that you are eating. We also add in support of bile with ox bile, and we have all the enzymes that you need to digest proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. And then we also re-inoculate those intestines. So we are putting in friendly bacteria with probiotics and also prebiotics so that they will grow really quickly. The good guys will grow really quickly, and then that will push out the bad guys. It will just kind of overtake your small intestines with the good guys. And then when you have more good guys than bad guys, guess what? You feel a whole lot better. And then we have to, along that time, we have to repair your gastrointestinal tract. So your small intestines, the lining of it, we have to heal that. And that takes some targeted, very specific supplements that do that job. So we really focus on you know, repairing that gut lining. And then we don't exclude things that you do in your life that can impact your gut function. We could do all these fabulous things with altering your food and, giving you supplements and things that you need to heal it. But then if you're going to poorly manage your stress, we're not going to get anywhere. Or if you are never sleeping, guess what? We're going to really struggle to heal it completely. And if you are, you know, really over-exercising, we are going to have some problems healing your gut during this phase. So we do have some specific protocols and steps that we have you follow for a period of time so that we correct it, it's done and over with, and then we teach you how to support it afterwards so that it doesn't go back to being a problem again. So, you know, those are the five steps. It is a, you know, sounds maybe complicated, but it's really simple and it happens pretty quickly. And some cases are, you know, a little more trickier than others, and some cases are maybe more stubborn than others, but we help you get to the solutions that make you feel your best and make weight loss surgery the tool that you had hoped for and not something that you struggle with on a daily basis. So I hope I have piqued your interest, and I hope I've got you thinking about, you know, do I have any of these symptoms? And am I having, you know, some symptoms that I've got SIBO and I need to work on? Because the longer you go with letting this bacterial overgrowth continue, the harder it is to get rid of. Or are you also having symptoms of low stomach acid that you know is the driver? Or do you know that you're taking those PPIs and you're concerned of where that may go, and you know you need to address this issue quickly? So ignoring symptoms are not in your favor. So the quicker we get on top of this is to your advantage. So think through, you know, am I having those symptoms of low stomach acid? Am I having those symptoms of small intestinal bacterial overgrowth? Do I need to start working on these five steps? I think those are questions that I would love to hear what you're going through and what you're experiencing. You know, send us an email or get on the website and give us your story on what it is that you struggle with the most. Go to WLSgutHealth.com and post anything on us on our website, and we would love to interact with you on this topic in helping you find resolution to this very common problem after weight loss surgery. If you've liked today's show, make sure to go into iTunes and leave us a rating, and hopefully it is a 5-star because you are super excited about restoring your gut health. And if you would take the time to write a review and share what excites you the most, that would be greatly appreciated, because the shows are ranked inside of iTunes based on reviews and stars. So we look forward to becoming your solution to restoring your stomach and intestinal health after weight loss surgery.